Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. That means that the church is going to go stronger and harder in one direction, and the church is going to go stronger and harder in a different direction. And these days are, you know, tumultuous times. They are days where, you know, everything is kind of getting turned upside down with passion. And it is important to remember, praise God, that our King is the King of all kings, Lord of all lords. It's eternity. You know, a lot of times we think of worldviews and we think of them competing in terms of ideas. You know, God's worldview versus the world's worldview. And we think of ideas, an exchange of ideas. But when you think of worldviews in terms of time, it becomes very interesting. Because God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And the way the Bible says, you know, Psalm chapter 1, it just says, you know, the way of the ungodly. You know, it says, blessed man, he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His tree will bring forth fruit, and in his season his leaf also will not wither. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's interesting. The way of the ungodly. He didn't just say the ungodly, but he said the way of the ungodly will perish. When you look at world views in terms of time, you know, God's worldview is eternal. The world's worldview is very temporary. It won't even exist. Interesting. So when you look at, again, kind of the, you know, the battle of worldviews, if you will, in terms of ideas, when you look at it in the dimension of time, the world's worldview is very temporary. It won't even exist anymore. Do you know you don't need evil and conflict to enjoy and appreciate the good things of God? You don't need a devil to appreciate God. You can fully appreciate God without a devil. You know, when Jesus came to the end of his ministry down here, he said, "Oh, Father, now restore to me the glory that I had with you before the world began." Jesus came down here, he did what he did, but he was very glad to be going back to the right hand of the Father in the third heaven. You understand, the flesh, the world, and the devil are not in the third heaven right now, and they're doing just fine. Creativity, the one who designed and created this world we live in. I mean, you can't even measure the creativity of God. God can take you places Google can't take you. That all the things that this world you think in terms of, no, the age, the Bible says in the ages to come, he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. We're looking at a fallen creation. The satisfaction of heart of a redeemed creation. It's just, it's mind-boggling, you know. It's kind of like this old story about the guy, he's banging his head against the wall, and somebody says, "Why are you banging your head against the wall?" He goes, "Well, it just feels so good when I stop." You can almost have that, you know, the way people talk sometimes spiritually. It's like, you know, that conflict is what really gets, well, thank God you're going to grow and you're going to develop in conflict and different things like that, but I don't need the devil to be satisfied in God. His kingdom is forever and ever and ever. The way of the ungodly will pass away. It just won't be here anymore. It won't even be here anymore. You got to realize this is very, very temporary. What we're going through down here, it's temporary. We have a king who's going to reign forever and ever and ever. He truly is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, and there is no end to his reign. Even the most vile dictator down here that has no political term limits is term limited by his body. One day his body won't hold up. But that's the difference between our king. He has a glorious, eternal body and lives forever and ever. So praise God. You know, it's good to remember that. Get the big picture, especially as we're going through tribulation and troubled times down here. You know, it is a very temporary thing. We're down here on a missions trip, a very short-term missions trip in the light of eternity. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning. There it is. Go ahead and start this morning in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to wait till we get the... Uh-oh. Okay, that's fine. I can go ahead and read if I need to. All right. Getting logged in. Praise God. All right. Well, I'll just go ahead and start reading the first... passage this morning. The first passage this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And this is where the Apostle Paul kind of gives us some insight into insight into our own lives, something very profound. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Wow, that's the direction we're going. "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." In other words, the Apostle Paul, okay, great, we're up and running. So he just basically, let's see here, you know, it says here, verse 16 again, "from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Just love surrounds this thing. But ultimately what he's saying here is that, you know, we are one body, but we are many members. He starts off by saying that we have different functions, you know, purposes, you know, different callings, gifts that God has placed in the body of Christ for the purpose, verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. In other words, we've got these ministry gifts, like you come on a Sunday morning to hear a pastor preach a message. You know, ultimately, what is going on here? You know, a pastor gets up there and divides the word of truth. You feed on it, you get it, and it helps to stabilize you more in your faith. You understand more why you believe what you believe. And when you understand more why you believe what you believe from the word of God, it's harder for people to trick you, you know, because you understand what the word of God says. And so that's a functional purpose of why we have ministry gifts in the body of Christ, to help establish us in our faith, to help us be strong and stable. But it doesn't stop there. You know, it goes on to the fact that speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head. Now, this is where the whole body comes in. "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." In other words, yes, we've got ministry gifts that help divide the word, to help us get strong and stable and know why we believe what we believe. But we go on to find out that there is a whole body, and every one of us are part of this body. Every one of us has a supply, and every one of us has a part to play in this body. It's an amazing thing. I mean, I've had things, you know, times just looking at my church life and ministry life and things like that. You might come to church and, you know, hear something in the service that connects and clicks with you, and then you'll hear somebody say something in the foyer while you're fellowshipping that'll connect and click with you, and the Holy Spirit can kind of whisper something into your heart, you know, while you're driving away in your car, you know, and what you'll see is that feeding, that supply of the Spirit, it's just all over the place. And you don't even realize sometimes when you're talking to somebody in passing, God will speak through you and speak words of life and encouragement. I mean, you'll say something and you forget you even say it, and somebody will say, "Remember you said that thing?" And you go, "Oh yeah, I remember saying that. Wow, that really ministered to me. That spoke to my heart." There is just a supply and a connectiveness that you have in you as a Christian. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And what God is saying here in this passage is that we all have a vital part to play. Verse 16 in the Amplified says, "For because of him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments and which it is supplied, when each part with power adapted to its need is working properly in all its function, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love." So here again we see we're one body, we're many members, but we all are interconnected. And this is such an important thing to remember because, you know, we do emphasize the fact that as a Christian, I'm born again. I have the Spirit of God within me. I can hear from God for myself. God leads me by his Spirit. But we got to understand that that's just one avenue, one dimension of my Christian experience. This is another important dimension. There's a supply of the Spirit that I get when I read the Word of God by myself in my morning devotion time. But there's another supply of the Spirit that I get as I'm connected to other members of the body. And so it's important to understand that big picture. But in stepping back, you got to realize that you have a part in this body. You have a part in this body, and you have a supply in this body. The God of all design, again, creation, you look at a leaf, you can see all the amazing intricacies and how everything flows and works together. You see he's a creative, you know, a creator. And within his creativity, within his body, you know, you think of the human body, the creativeness of the human body, there's that spiritual body where he has put you in it, in a particular spot. And there's a place and a part that you have to fulfill. And this morning, I simply want to minister along the lines of, if I can get this working here. Here we are. Did you do that or did I do that? You did that? Okay. Do we have the little tab in there? We do? Okay. Let me just play with it. All right. So it's in there. All right. Well, I might have to lean on you this morning here, Emily. We want to talk about the call of God. When we think of the call of God, we kind of start out, when you look back, the pastor, the evangelist, the prophet, you know, different things like that. Oh, that's the call of God, people who are called to the ministry. No, every one of us is called, because the Bible talks again about how every part does its share. Every one of us has a part to play in the body of Christ. Do you know that? I mean, it's not just the fivefold calling. I mean, I look at people that have ministered and have spoke direction to my life. They weren't pastors, prophets. They were just brothers and sisters in the Lord I'm fellowshipping with, and God just amazingly speaks through them and spoke amazing things in my life, even answering the call to the ministry, just talking to a guy and just kind of talking, fellowshipping. He said, you know, maybe now's the time. You know, that wasn't a prophetic word that somebody, it came through casual fellowship with another believer. You know, direction will come through different things. And I began to answer the call of God on my life in there. So, but there was a supply that he had. And it's important to realize that the life that you have, there's a supply of the Spirit in there. And you can think, well, I kind of know what I, you know, you have no idea how that supply is going to come out and connect and touch people's lives. And so this morning, we want to talk along the lines of the call of God. And the first aspect in terms of the call of God is really hearing the call of God. Being able to hear the call of God on your life. In the first place, you're going to hear the call of God, as we've kind of already started to look at, is in the Word of God. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Praise God. Here's that same verse in the Amplified. "We are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." I love that. You know, here we see in the Word of God, first of all, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. So one of the first ways you hear the call of God in your life is you hear it in the Word of God. All right, whether you know what it is or whether you don't know what it is, you know by faith that it's there. In other words, where he says, "You were born anew that we may do those good works." You know, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." You know, what is the spiritual birth? It's where that on the inside, your spirit being becomes brand new. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. Your very inner man becomes a brand new person in Christ. That's the miracle of the new birth. But the wonderful thing about it is, you weren't just born again for the sake of being born again. You were born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. So it's great to know, yes, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. But you're born anew for a reason. You're born anew for a purpose. And what is your call? Your call are those good works he's ordained you to walk in. Everybody who's been born anew has good works in your spiritual DNA of that new person on the inside. There's things God has called you to do. There are things that you are anointed to do. In fact, it wasn't even something that God just thought up when you decided to call upon his name. Do the next slide, Emily. It says in 2 Timothy, "Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before time began." Now here's that in the Amplified again. "For it is he who delivered and saved us and called us with a calling in itself holy and leading to holiness, a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. He did it not because of anything of merit that we've done, but because of and to further his own purpose and grace, unmerited favor, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began eternal ages ago. You know, this is a really powerful passage of Scripture to just realize that God, before time began, that this is really amazing. You are just now beginning, and we're going to talk more about it this morning, beginning to discover what you were created to do. I think it was USA Today asked the poll, you know, the number one question, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? And the number one question is, why am I here? That was the overwhelming number one, why am I here? Punching a clock, making a living, raising kids, you know, doing my deal. Why? What's the big purpose behind all this? You know, and that was to be the number one question. Why am I here? And when you begin to, this is the most wonderful thing about a relationship with God, because it answers that question. And it answers it not, and it doesn't always answer with a bolt of lightning and writing in the sky. He'll answer that question in some of the most wonderfully subtle ways that you know it's him. But the thing to realize, first off, is the fact that we have a calling. He gave it to us before time began. The first place you're going to hear that calling is in the Word, just by what we're talking about this morning. The fact that you know it's there, all right? It's okay to open your heart and mind up to the fact that God has called me. I am part of those joints. I have a share. I have a role to play. And you notice here, too, it's by grace. We were given that calling and that grace by grace that in the Amplified says unmerited favor. You know, we think of the forgiveness of sins. Yes, that's unmerited favor. There's nothing that I can do to earn the forgiveness of sins. All I can do is by faith receive that grace, that amazing unmerited favor to receive the forgiveness of sins. But that unmerited favor doesn't stop there. It extends to the purpose in your life. There is unmerited favor that is going to anoint you and equip you and bless you to do amazing things in this earth. Not because you earned it, but because his grace is there to use you in wonderful, glorious ways in this earth, in amazing ways. And so when you think of Jesus, you know, before he began his public ministry, the first thing he did, you know, he went into the synagogue there and he opened up to that place in Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, recovery of sight to the blind." And then he said, what did he say? "Today in your hearing, the scripture is fulfilled." Jesus saw his calling in the Word, and he fulfilled it. Obviously, he went on to fulfill that calling. But the first place we see him turning to the scriptures. And that's kind of what we've done this morning. We've turned to the scriptures to see ourselves in the Word of God too, and to realize the fact that there is a calling. There is absolutely is a calling on our lives. So, do the next slide, Emily. So the next question becomes is, okay, I know by faith that I'm here to do something. God has called me to do something on this earth. How can I know what that is? And that's where you go from hearing it in the Word to now hearing it with your heart. You know, there are ears to hear where you can pick up and know what God has called you to do. And here's a real key in understanding it. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Amplified again. "Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight." So this is where you're listening now in terms of understanding where that call is you're beginning to listen to that working of the Spirit of God in you. Again, don't think of the call of God as having to be a pastor, prophet, evangelist. That's just, those are good, important callings for stabilizing the church, you know, and getting grounded in the Word. But ultimately, every part has a role to play. And every part is going to experience that inner working of the Holy Spirit to will and to do. Now let me say this, when we're talking about what God has called you to do, we know in a generic sense we're down here to be a light, we're down here to be salt, we're down here to be an influence for Christ as God opens doors to share our faith and begin to do things to impact this world for the kingdom of God, no doubt about it. There is that spiritual side of it, but there's also a natural vocational side where God will give you grace and desire to do things in the natural. I remember as a senior in high school, I seemed kind of conflicted because they'd hand out those cards and they say, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go in college? What are you going to be when you grow up? So they ask you that question. I remember filling out that card saying, you know, a computer programmer or a pastor? You know, it seemed like, wow, a computer programmer or a pastor? You know, what's the right answer? Well, they were both the right answer. And as God begins to work in you, a lot of times there will be different things. There will be multiple things that are on the inside of you. And there will be seasons that you begin to fulfill these things, these desires in your heart. And a lot of times there will be just, you know, when you desire something and you want to do something, don't think, oh, computer programming, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Can that be God? Yes, it can be God. No matter whatever that natural vocation is, you got to understand that wherever that natural vocation is, there's people there. You got to remember, this is a call that was before time began. God already had this planned out. So you can think of it, here's my natural desire, my natural vocation. Well, there's people around wherever that natural desire. There's a harvest. There's people that you can be a salt and light to. And a lot of times that desire, it's fulfilling. There's real job satisfaction. When you do in the natural what God has called you to do, it's fun. It's really enjoyable. It's like, yes. And here's a good clue on when God begins to work in will to do things in you. The things that you find yourself desiring and having an ability to do, they're the things that you tend to have patience for. You know, you can look at what somebody else does and think, oh, I just, either that would be boring to me or it would be hard to do or just the grace wouldn't be there. But when there's something that you feel like you want to pursue, you don't mind getting back up until you get it right. You don't mind keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it because there's something, there's a grace in you to do it. And as he's working in you to will and to do, you begin to not only hear in the word that it's there, but you begin to hear in your heart, you sense him working in you. And that thing will keep coming back to your mind. Do that. You know, do that. And it's like you'll kind of keep going back to it. You keep pursuing it. And so I like to say, too, that when God begins to lead, you know, one of the three things that he'll give me in direction is the Spirit of God leads and works in me, is he'll give me peace. It'll be like, yes, I got peace to go forward in this direction. There'll be repetition. He'll keep bringing it back over and over again. It's like I can't get away from it. I call it a good Holy Spirit nagging. You know, he'll keep bringing it back, and it's like, okay, good, good, good. Yep, okay, Lord, I won't forget. I'm going to keep going back. And then I'll say revelation. It's like you go in that direction. All of a sudden, you begin to see purpose behind it. You begin to see destiny, you begin to see plans. And when you begin to get those things going, that's a good sign that God is in you, working to will and to do on a practical level. But you'll find that it's something that you have patience for. You fall down, but you don't care. You just keep getting back up. And I'm going to learn, and I'm growing, and I'm going to do this until I get it. That's grace. That's God working in you to will and to do. And you'll find that you're going to have different things, different areas. Again, there will also at times be different seasons for different things, you know, that God calls you to do. There will be a season where he might have you do something and that vocation just seems to come to an end. It just doesn't seem like the grace, the desire is there. Now it's shifting to something else. That's okay. You know, there are different things. You know, look at the Apostle Paul. He was a tent maker by trade. There were times he'd go and set up his crusade and he'd just work night and day doing tent stuff. Not to even take up an offering, to not be chargeable to people. Just doing that because that's what God, for a season, had him to do. You know, and there will be different things that you'll find in your life. There are seasons, but it's right, and it's God. You know, and so it's also important to realize, too, get the next slide. This is such an important part as we're navigating this line of endeavoring to find out how God's working to will and to do in us. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Okay, so as you're navigating this line of okay and desiring okay, don't be looking at what somebody else is doing and say, oh, I want to do that, or I'm going to be that, or I'm going to, you know, because a lot of times you can see the fruit of what somebody's doing, but you don't see all the work in the background in preparation that it took to get there, and you can kind of go in that direction, and all of a sudden it's just, oh, this is not what I want to do. You know, it's kind of like watching the Olympics and saying, wow, that's an amazing thing. Look at what they did. And you go down to the treadmill, and after 10 minutes, it's like, oh, what was I thinking? You know, this is ridiculous, you know. And But if that's what God called you to do, you'll just keep going until you get it, you know. And so we can see things and think, well, that'd be cool to do. But it's nothing wrong with going in a direction, but you got to just be honest too. Is the grace there? Is it not there? And don't be comparing yourselves amongst yourself. You're going to be the most happy, satisfied doing what God has called you to do. And it doesn't have to be glorious and big and to be, you know, where everybody sees you. It doesn't have to be a spotlight deal. I mean, it's going to be an amazing thing when you get to heaven and, you know, the rewards and things like that. The Bible says that, you know, we serve him to whom all things are naked and open. Your audience is God with your life down here, ultimately. It's not how many eyeballs on the internet or viewers on TV. It's God. He's seeing everything. And he's the one who's going to look at your life. He's the one who's going to be saying, well done, rewarding you for deeds done in the body, the good works he's ordained you to walk in. And it's so important as we're doing that is that we're not comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. It's easy to do that. And to be jealous or envious of somebody else's call, you know, it's one of those things that you got to realize, I'm going to be content with what God has called me to do, because I know that what he's called me to do is going to give me the ultimate satisfaction. And here where we say, too, as far as comparing, competing, sometimes you'll see this even in the ministry gifts, where praise God for an evangelist, you know, and there's an anointing and a grace on evangelists. We should all, in a sense, be evangelists. We should all be willing to give a hope to anybody for the hope that's within us and to share our faith and to lead people to Christ. But there is an anointing on an evangelist to minister. And, you know, you just hear Billy Graham preach on TV sometimes. You just hear the authority. Same gospel, same words, but there's an anointing and an authority and a grace that comes through these gifts, you know, that people have. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, you can look at the evangelist and say, wow, how many people am I getting saved per day? And kind of, you know, get it up to there. And, you know, sometimes an evangelist can be critical too and say, hey, look, you know, pastor, how many people are you getting saved? This is how many people I'm getting saved. You know, and the pastor says, yeah, and where are they today? Do they know who they are in Christ? Are they growing up spiritually? Are they developing their faith? You know, and, you know, where a pastor is going to be to feed the flock of God and to nurture people and to grow them up spiritually. We have one body with many members. We have different parts to play. You know, there is a prophetic word and an anointing that will help bring correction, direction to the body of Christ as a whole. You know, there's the teacher that's going to take it and break it down at nauseam and enumerate every little thing and bring it into detail so you understand every concept and precept, and that's part of the work of the pastor too. There's a nurturing and a teaching that's involved in that. There's the evangelist that's going to go into all the world with that grace and anointing to do it. But you have these different gifts. They're not competing gifts. They're complementary gifts. They work together, one body with many members. No one person has all those graces. God put each one of us in the body, made us interdependent upon each other in terms of the supply that we each one of us have, but we're all connected to the head, which is Christ, who is the head of the church. And you got to realize that when you get that call, when you get that anointing and that grace, it's exciting. And you kind of wonder, why doesn't everybody have this call? You know, why doesn't everybody just want to do what I'm doing? This is it. And this is where you got to, by faith, realize and you know, don't compare, don't judge, you know, just because, you know, not everybody is called to the mission field, all right? There are going to be some people who are going to stay back and raise money to send to the missionaries in the mission field. And there's going to be other people, you know, who are called to go in the inner city right here where we live domestically and hit the streets and win people to Christ. And there's going to be other people that are just called, praise God, to be faithful to the realm that God has called them, to be a light and to simply shine where they are. In fact, that's a really big, big part of it right there. When a person is just faithful to do what God has called them to do in the natural, and that light just shines around them, and people take notice, you know, and there's so much of that that we don't chalk up and have numbers for and report on quarterly fruit things and all that stuff. But the God who's looking at everything, to whom all things are, he sees everything. He's keeping score. He sees that, all right? And so it's, don't get into the comparison. Don't think, oh, because I can't win souls like so-and-so. And, you know, you can kind of get this paradigm of super Christian. You know, I want to be able to teach like so-and-so and win souls like so-and-so and then give like so-and-so. And it's like, ah, oh, I'm never quite good enough. I'm never measuring up. No, you're not the whole body. You're just one part. You're just one part. And so as you're hearing the call, you got to realize that, Lord, I'm just hearing my part. I'm hearing what you've called me to do. And again, there is nothing more satisfying than just doing what God has called you to do. All right? It's not about numbers. It's about obedience. You know, Jesus said, I just say what I hear the Father say. I do what I see the Father do. You know, and it's interesting to think, the Pool of Bethesda where Jesus went and there was a guy who was crippled, I think he was crippled from birth, and Jesus ministered to him and got him healed, raised him up. And he said, well, you know, what's the problem? He said, well, the angel comes down, troubles the waters. He said, but I can't get there in time. So Jesus ministered healing to him, and then he went on. But there were a lot of sick people on the porches there. If it was a numbers game, Jesus would have just got them all healed. And he could have added that to his weekly newsletter, a number healed this month. He didn't do that, though, did he? He just followed what the Holy Ghost, what God the Father, he said, I just say what I hear my Father say, I do what I see my Father do. So it's not a numbers game, it's an obedience game, if you want to game it. It's doing what God has called you to do. Think of the story, I love the old movie, it kind of came through the Christmas season, It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart. He had these big visions, and if you don't know the story of It's a Wonderful Life, it's a guy just in a little local bank, and he's kind of stuck in his little town of Bedford Falls, and he wants to get out and do great big things, but he's kind of stuck here and just kind of thinking, man, I just want to build bridges and skyscrapers and do all this amazing stuff, but circumstances just don't permit him to do it. He ends up hanging around there, and he kind of helps people out at the local level, but the ramifications and the ripple effect of the people he helps at a local level are global impact. He just can't see them. So he wishes, you know, in a state of self-pity that he had never been born. And so he has an angel come and show him how the world would have been, a whole world would have been a different place had he not been obedient to do those little things that he did in Bedford Falls. You know, and that's the one who we're looking at. You know, you have no idea the ripple effect is. You're just obedient to do those things that he's called you to do. So, you know, bearing fruit isn't a matter of just, you know, the glitz and glamour and being noticed. It's just really following those promptings in your heart that the Holy Spirit shows you. And those are anointed, and there's grace to do that. And there's a satisfaction. You know, you work at a job, and you do something, and you do it right and well, and maybe you receive a compliment and affirmation. There's a sense of job satisfaction. And that's the same way it is spiritually when you're just obeying those promptings. You know, it could be just to give somebody a call, cheer them up. Could be just write them a letter or send them a quick email of encouragement or text or whatever it might be or whatever it is. Those simple little things. You just have no idea in the big picture how God is using those things to absolutely impact this world. So there is going to be, you know, hearing the call. And a lot of that is just hearing. You hear it in the Word and then you hear it on the inside. That's God working in you to will and to do. He's giving you desire to go different directions with your life. Okay. Emily, the next one. Then basically the second part of this is that we just want to look at not just hearing the call, but also answering the call. And here we can see where the Apostle Paul talks in his life just about answering that call. He says, and we'll go to the next slide, Emily. In 1 Timothy 1, he said, and I thank Christ, Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me. He has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I give thanks to him who has granted me the needed strength and made me able for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has judged and counted me faithful and trustworthy, appointing me to the stewardship of the ministry. That's a beautiful description. The Apostle Paul is basically talking about himself answering that call to the ministry. You know, answering that call, you know, for himself to the ministry. He sensed that enabling. He sensed that grace. You know, in other words, he knew God was working to will and to do in him something, and he responded to it. But you'll notice that he said something here. I thank Christ Jesus who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You know, there was things that there's sometimes before you kind of walk in the things that God has called you to do, on some levels, there will be a season of preparation. God will work in you to will and to do. And you know what? He might have you ready for something, but he might start you out. You know, for me, I started out on a strawberry farm, picking weeds, picking rocks, not very glorious stuff. And my mom and dad would always kind of smile at me and just tell me how it's, you know, building character and putting hair on your chest and all that stuff. And, you know, stuff that, I remember my mom and dad, we were planting strawberry plants once, and we kind of came to the end of the, the night, it was probably about 5 at night, it was, you know, 6 at night, and it was starting to get a little bit dark, and I think it was my dad said, "Yep, son, you're going to look back at this and say these are the best days of your life." And I said, "You mean it's going to get worse from here?" I was not a farmer, you know. I didn't have grace long term to be a farmer, but I did learn some things. I learned how to put in an 8-hour day. I learned some good work ethic. And from there, yes, I did graduate from the farm to Hardee's. All right, so I'm really going up the ladder here. But I'm just saying, you know, there are going to be days of preparation, you know, as you're getting ready to answer that call. In other words, that answering the call is, I sense God me to do this, and then tomorrow, you know, I'm going to walk in it. I sensed God calling me to be a pastor when I was 17 years old. And 18 years later, I started pastoring. But there was a time in there, there was about an 18-year gap of fast food and cold calling and different things and computer programming, different things that God had worked in me to will and to do. And you got to answer that. You got to realize that sometimes there's going to be a season where God is going to count you faithful. In fact, I was mentioning before a conversation that I'd had with a guy, just kind of a brother in the Lord, not one of the big fivefold ministry companies. We're just fellowshipping. And he said, "Ed, maybe now's the time. Maybe now's the time God wants you to go." Well, first of all, he said, "What about that? You and Julie are going to go into the ministry someday? You're going to be pastor? Whatever happened to that?" I said, "Well, it's still there. I'm going to do it someday, you know, someday out there." And he said, "Well, maybe now's the time." And when he said that, he asked me a question. He said, "If you going into full-time ministry meant you had to get a ham and egger job to make it work, would you do that?" And of course, I said yes. The right answer to that question is yes, you would get a ham and egger job to do that. But I began to question my own heart and mind, would I? You know, would I be willing to do what God called me to do, to take that next step? And I just began to realize that, yeah, there is going to be a season of faithfulness. Are you willing to do the small stuff? Or do you have to just be, do you have to, I want it and then walk into the fruit of it? It just doesn't happen that way as you begin to develop spiritually. And depending on what God has called you to do, there will be a season of preparation that God has for you. And that's okay. These are days of preparation. Days of preparation are never lost time. They don't only prepare you for what that next thing God called you to do, they prepare you for life. You know what happens? The greatest things that happens in the days of preparation, apart from equipping you to do what God's called you to do, you get to know God better. Do you have a, sometimes we try to locate people, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Yes, I do, and it's very personal. And those days of preparation become very personal because you begin to find things out about yourself. You begin to realize that, you know what? Praise God. There are things I want to lay down in my life. I want to be free from. Not to go to heaven when I die. That's settled. It's settled in Christ. You know, Jesus paid the price on the cross. I can never do anything that could take the place of what Christ did for me. But I'll tell you one thing. When you get free from the weights and the sins that so easily beset you, it affects your race that you run. That's what Hebrews says. It says, lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before you. Have you ever run with ankle weights on? You take those ankle weights off, and it's amazing how much faster you can run. And that's the effect spiritually that it has when we lay aside the weights and the sins. A lot of times in those that preparation time, there will be a preparation too where God will begin to deal with you in areas of your life getting free from things. And praise God for it. Because it's not about, you know, when you think about, you know, just the, what are we talking about? The weights and the sins that so easily beset you. Because when we play games with the weights and the sins, it's like, you know, I think one of the most inspiring things that can help you to realize that you want to get free from the weights is because there is a race that is set before you. Let me put it to you in some very practical terms. And you can probably relate to this too. If you've lived for God very long, you know what it's like when you're living for God and you're hitting on all 8 cylinders and you're getting things and you have peace and you've got things in the Spirit of God, and somebody comes up and you begin to fellowship, it's just like it comes out of you. It just pours out of you. It's so glorious. And think, wow, that's really good. And it is good. You're tuned in, and you're getting good stuff. You're able to share it and minister it. And then there are those times when you're not really close to the Lord, and you're kind of cold, and there's really nothing there, and somebody comes up to you, desperate, looking for some direction, wisdom, you think, You know, the most motivating thing in my life to live for God and to live right is to really be ready. To be ready and to be there for people. Again, this isn't about me going to heaven when I die, but this is surely about bearing fruit and being effective and, you know, making the most of this little vapor that I have down here. And you begin to realize that as you walk this out with God, it's like, I want to be free from stuff so I can do what God has called me to do. I want to be free from the stuff so I can run this race. You get a taste of bearing fruit. You get a taste of being used of God. It's like, I don't want to sit on the sidelines anymore. I want to be in the game. You know, and that's the problem with sin, is it gets you so self-oriented. It gets your eyes on you. It's self-seeking. That's just what sin does. And you're just not tuned in to God. And that's why the enemy wants you to be bound with sin, as a believer especially. You're not a threat to him. But when you are walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and your eyes are on Jesus, and you're spiritually minded, and you're tuned into heaven, you are getting stuff for him. And part of this preparation and answering the call is going to be that stuff, where you are going to be, Lord, okay, here we go, Father. I am living for you, and I realize this is bigger than just me being free from that sin. And Julie has a great song, you know, Calling You Higher, where she says, you know, I'm calling you to be free, not just for you, but for the ones I've called you to. I'm calling you higher. And that's what that upward call is. I'm looking at that upward call. I want to be free, God. This is part of my training, my education. This is part of my training, getting free from the weights and the sins so that I can be an effective minister for him. So we're talking about answering the call. There is going to be equipping in that call. Now I'm going to come along to the other side of this. Emily, do the next phase. You know, so on one, you know, I like to, this is what pastoral preaching do. You try to keep you in the middle of the road, try to avoid the extremes. On one extreme, you got to realize that, hey, there are things that God's going to do in my life to prepare me in my life from the weights and the sins to get ready for the ministry. On the other hand, the Apostle Paul said this, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All right? On one side of the deal, you got to realize there will be a season as God is developing you and getting you free from stuff. But there's also another side too, a ditch, where you can't wait till you're perfect to step out and live for God and do what he's called you to do. Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He didn't count himself to have already been perfected. In fact, he said, I bring my body under subjection, lest after I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Think about that. You think, here's a guy who's caught up to the third heaven, saw things, heard things, amazing things that weren't even legal to be spoken down here on the earth. Think about that. If you had an out-of-body experience, you got caught up to the third heaven, and you just got to check in on heaven, then you come back down to your body. That would change your worldview in a hurry, or hopefully affirm your worldview, put it that way. But you come back down here, you think, wow, it's great. I'll never have a problem with my body again. No, you still will. You still have to bring your flesh under. Now, the good news is you can put it under. You can crucify the deeds of the body. But on the other hand, if you're waiting until you're so perfect that you're above temptation, you're going to always experience temptation. Jesus experienced temptation, tempted in every point as we are yet without sin. But the Bible says he learned obedience through the things he suffered, that temptations and things like that. So you got to understand that, you know, you're not waiting to get perfect. You're not waiting until you're perfected. No, you are really ultimately realizing that the middle of the road is this. Lord, my heart, Lord, is to be free from the weights and the sins, but there is an enablement. There is an ability that you've put on the inside of me. And that same one who works in you to will and to do of you, of that to do it, he will alert you when it's time. Sometimes, you know, you might just find it out by accident, where you're just kind of minding your own business, doing what God has called you to do, and all of a sudden he uses you. He could use you in a person's life. He could use you to do something in the church. He could use you in different things like that. And all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit says, yeah, pray. Let's see, you need to kind of further. Let's go ahead and stop. Let's go ahead and step out. And God will begin to lead you and guide you as you begin to walk through. That's why it's just as life is happening. The Holy Spirit is right in there to teach you and to train you and to lead you and to guide you. But realize this, and this is why it's such an important part to bring the weights and the sins into the discussion. Because people usually get in one ditch or the other. You know, they'll kind of be out here and they'll kind of go off prematurely into things that they're just not spiritually ready for. Or they're over here never doing anything because they're waiting till they're perfect. All right? How do you know the precise line? The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into that. And a lot of times what will happen is he'll begin to lead you incrementally. He'll begin to give you, remember Jesus said, you're faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. And that's kind of what happens in your call. You incrementally get some responsibility and more responsibility and more responsibility. So there's that, there's answering the call of God in that respect. Next slide, Emily. Isaiah 6:8. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Here am I. Send me. That call of God that you get is such a wonderful thing. It's kind of, it's like a cause. You think of, you know, what makes the fireman run into the burning building? There's something in him that I'm gonna do it. You don't even really think, it's just instinctive. And when you get that sense, like I said, that defines the middle of the road, all of a sudden, you know, you're doing your best to live for God and to begin to grow and to develop. All of a sudden, there's a call, and you sense somebody could do that. Somebody could go there. And it's like, yes, that's me. Let's go for it. Here am I. Send me, Lord. I want to go. And you begin to pray along those lines, Father. That's me. Let's do it. You know, it takes faith to step out. It takes faith to step out and follow what God has shown you to do, especially when you're dealing with seasons. It is so tempting to just want to stay in the same season for the rest of your life. But God does things in seasons, and there are going to be some times when he's going to wake you up in a season and say, look, it's time to go. It's time to go on to that next season. And it's like, I like to say it like this. When one season comes to an end, there's like a divine dissatisfaction. You know, you think, oh, I've been doing this for so many years. Yeah, but it's just not the same anymore. There is something God is getting me ready to do. There is a call. There is an equipping. And that's where we got to realize, you know, you're going to sense that voice of the Lord. It'll be in you. And that's the response that you have, a cry from your heart. And we can do the next slide. Here's a great example. It says now, 1 Corinthians 12, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Amplified, but as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs, the organs, and the body, each particular one of them, just as he wished and saw fit with the best adaptation. And so again, that call is going to be where you sense that fit. And it can be so, again, so different for different people. You know, in a church, let me say this, we have departments in a church. We have a nursery. We have a kids' church. You know, we've got food pantry ministry. We've got men's meetings, women's Bible studies, different things that we'll do, different events, things like that. But you got to understand too, that place that you're in the body doesn't just mean a department in the local church. And we've been very narrow, I think, in the church world to define your place in the body as a department of the church. Absolutely can be a department of the church. We've got other great ministry. We've got the Bridges organization that reaches out evangelistically to other people. We've got great opportunities. But that being said, the place that you could function can be completely in a community event, not even in the church. You understand? Ultimately, it's where your Lord is showing you where to go and where to fit. And that's where you're free. And that's why I'll say all the time, as a pastor, I'll say all the time, I'm your pastor, not your master. I'm just here to feed you, to help you cultivate your walk with God, and then let him show you what you need to do. But it's not going to be restricted to a department in the church. Oh, I got it. What am I going to do here? Well, praise God, it can be. And we're very thankful and appreciative and grateful, and God calls and equips people to help in the departments of Door of Life. But you've got to realize, it's a big world, it's a big call. And you have the freedom to flow into whatever area God has called you to flow and minister into. So, praise God. Next slide. Emily, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Again, amplified, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they're given. And he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends it. In other words, that call is there. It is absolutely there. Sometimes, and let's go to the next slide here. Yeah, that's fine. You can keep it right there. I just want to say this. It's never too late, okay? Sometimes people feel like, oh, God called me to do this, and I haven't been living for God for 10 years, and da-da-da-da-da. I'll tell you what. In God time, a day is 1,000 years. That's probably about 3 minutes. Just pick up where you left off, because he hasn't given up on you. The call and the grace is there. It is absolutely there. You think of some people. You know, have any of you ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? All right? There is a guy who actually got saved as a boy but backslid most of his life and really didn't even make a decision to live for God until he was 48. 48 was the age he was when he started actually living for God. And then all the ministry came later after that. Can you imagine that? I mean, here's one of the most prolific men of faith and exploits of God and different things like that. Didn't even really start till he was 48 to get serious about God. Pretty amazing. I'm glad he didn't give up. There's some amazing, you read about his life. I mean, the people, the healings, raised from the dead, different things like that. Pretty powerful stuff. Moses, when he was 40 years old, decided that he was kind of over here. You know, he's kind of prematurely trying to advance the call of God in his own strength. And he messes up. He has to get sent to the college of the backside of the desert, all right, where he gets his training for another 40 years. And at the age of 80, he sets out to do the will of God for his life. Goes back to Egypt and Pharaoh with all the plagues. He's 80 years old when he starts that Egyptian ministry. All right? These are important things. God doesn't really, you know, your body's easy for him. God can work, do what he needs to do with your body. But he's just looking for the heart. You understand? I mean, you get somebody who is, you know, 70 years old with the heart just, I'll go where you want me to go. I mean, God will work in that heart. And I just love to see people who in the natural are getting toward the end of their lives to see that passion just rise up and doing all they can for God. Oh, it just thrills my heart that they don't take inventory of a natural body and figure that's their spiritual productivity. No, not at all. I mean, the Apostle Paul at the end of his life was in such demand spiritually. It's an amazing thing. He said, you know, I have a desire to depart. I'm getting old, but to stay here is more needful for you. You know, and you realize that. Man, praise God. God has a big, big plan for my life. So the call of God. There's hearing the call of God, and there's answering the call of God. And there are going to be times of commitment where you're just getting close to God. He loves you. You get to find God, discover God in that. But you got to realize that there is a call on your life. I've asked Julie this morning to minister to us in song, a song that really, to me, kind of connects, you know, the heart of this message as it relates to just living for God and following after the call of God in your life.
I'm calling you higher, my child, calling you on. I've given you all that you require to be strong, and to be strong, not just for you, but for the ones I've called you to. Calling you higher, my child, calling you higher. I'm calling you deeper, my child, keep pressing in. It's my desire, my child, that you walk free from sin, that you be free not just for you, but for the ones I've called you to. Calling you deeper, my child, calling you deeper. And you will find grace as you walk in this high place, daily looking to me as you climb. you will be blessed, and your soul will find sweet rest as you live for me just one day at a time. I'm calling you nearer, my child. Come sit at my feet, and I will feed you of my word, and as you eat, well, you will be filled, not just for you, but for the ones I've called you to. I'm calling you nearer, my child, calling you nearer. I'm calling you higher, my child, calling you higher.
Praise you, Father. Well, Lord, we come before that wonderful throne of grace. And this morning, we just answer that call. Each one of us has a powerful, precious supply of your Spirit. Every part doing its share. This whole body grows more and more. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for that amazing call. If your heart can agree, go ahead and make this your declaration of faith this morning. Say, Heavenly Father, I am part of this body of Christ. You've anointed me. You've graced me for good works. You prepared for me. Before time began, I have purpose. I hear it in the Word. I hear it in my heart. Give me ears that are sensitive to your working and willing on the inside of me, to be willing to prepare myself for the good works you've called me to do. I answer that call. Here am I. Send me. Thank you, Lord. Your plan for me is the best. I submit myself to it. Lord Jesus, today's my day, the day I call upon your name. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. You died on the cross for my sins. I receive that forgiveness now. Be my Lord and Savior. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, we just want to say welcome to the family. And let somebody know. Let me know. Let somebody you may know. It's all we can do as it comes to our salvation. We just call upon his name. Jesus did the work. We have the grace. Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and prepare to take up our offering. As we do, got a few announcements I just want to make you aware of. We've got our midweek services that are going on here Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Got a great Treasure Seekers program. What is Treasure Seekers? Well, the Word of God is likened to treasure, and it's really an opportunity for our young people to take that Word of God and hide it in their hearts and really get to know what the Scriptures say. And it is an amazing thing how the Holy Spirit will take that Scripture, that Word, and quicken it and make it alive.